This is Worldviews. I'm Suzette Gorlat. Joshua Landis, let's do all things Middle East this week, now that you're here with us in the studio. Let's start with Syria. So recently, there were traces of chemical weapons found at their military bases there, several of them, sarin and ricin, found by inspectors there. Now, the question is this a violation of the 2013 deal to remove those chemical weapons? Is this evidence that they're retaining stockpiles? I mean, I don't think there's any evidence that they're being used, but what's going on here?
Well, it's a very good question. The United States claimed to have destroyed 95% of Syria's chemical weapons. This was after an August 2013 blow-up in which Russia and President Obama agreed, and with Syria, that they would take out all these weapons. Now, many people accused him of holding them back. Syria today is at a turning point because the rebels have made some dramatic gains, and there's a big push on by the rebel community to try to get America to step in and set up a no-fly zone and to help dispatch Assad. Turkey, Saudi Arabia have come up with a new agreement on Syria, and they want America on their side. That's one of the things that the Saudis are doing and the other Gulf Arabs were hoping to do in Washington just recently when they met at Camp David. So this is high-pitched right now. Everybody is using this chemical weapons situation to try to sway America to destroy Assad and side with the Saudis and the rebels and the Turks.
Well, is this likely to work? And what about the impact that this has? I mean, does Assad lose any credibility here? Are more people maybe going to jump on that bandwagon of let's get rid of Assad? Is this helping him in any way?
He's in a weakened position. And I don't think America is going to jump into the Saudi-Turkish side because they're worried that if Assad loses, if there are chemical weapons, the rebels are going to take them. And at the heart of the main rebel push is al-Qaeda. So Turkey, in a sense, Saudi Arabia, are empowering al-Qaeda now because they want Assad out of Damascus. And al-Qaeda is part of a coalition of militias, Islamist militias, that are very effective. So this puts America in a very difficult position. You want them out, but you don't want them out because you're worried that the other guys are going to be even worse. So that's the American dilemma, and that's what America faces with Saudi Arabia and the Gulf because they're pushing America. You got to be on our side.
Well, let's go to the Gulf since you've mentioned them a couple times now. So we've had some recent discussions. Obviously, countries like Saudi Arabia are upset with the United States. There are these tense relations we've talked about in recent weeks, particularly over the differences they have over the nuclear deal with Iran. So where are we today in terms of our relations with Saudi Arabia? Saudi is a very close partner of the United States, but is clearly troubled by this engagement with Iran. But at the same time, why is it that Saudi Arabia would want Iran to have nuclear weapons either? So help us understand the bottom line here.
America is transitioning in its policy towards the Middle East. We traditionally were extremely pro-Saudi and pro-Sunni. We were against Hezbollah, Shiite group in Lebanon. We were against Assad, Shiite dominant group in Syria. We were against Iran and had brutal sanctions on Iran. So for the last few decades, we've been helping the Sunnis against the Shiites. Today, that situation is changing. Because Iran has helped, we're worried today about ISIS, a Sunni power, al-Qaeda, a Sunni group. It's mostly Sunni terrorism that we're worried about today. And that means that we're working with Iran in Iraq to try to destroy ISIS. We're also trying to negotiate an arms deal with Iran because we don't want Iran to have the nuclear weapon. And this is one of the ironies because it turns out that Saudi Arabia and Israel both are not only worried that Iran might get a nuclear weapon, but they're even more worried that if Iran gets sanctions lifted by promising not to build this nuclear weapon, it's going to be richer and it will help its Shiites more. And the Saudis are feeling very embattled.
You mentioned arms deals. Now, one of the interesting consequences of these tensions that are arising between the United States and their Persian Gulf allies is that France is perhaps looking for an opening to further engage in the region. And so there have been some reports that France is engaged in some arms deals, some very lucrative arms deals, and other support that's going to Saudi Arabia, looking for a way in which France can perhaps play the new major power in the region.
Well, it won't be the major power, but yes, $6 billion of arms, airplanes, bought by Qatar from France. This is an important arms deal. Obviously, American arms makers are very jealous. They've dominated Gulf sales and Middle Eastern sales. The F-16 and all the other planes are tremendously effective. It is a shot across our bow, saying if you don't do what we want, we're not going to spend all our money in the United States. And that's, you know, one of those hard decisions. If you want the money, you got to do. Maybe we don't want that money all that much anymore. I mean, it's very costly to get sucked into Middle Eastern wars.
Well, shifts in the power balance, it seems to me, are coming, as you've suggested. Well, so last note in the Middle East today, the Vatican this week recognized officially the Palestinian state, urging others to support sovereignty for the Palestinian state. Of course, they're one of another 130 or so, about 130 states. Now, of course, the Vatican is not a state, but it is a sovereign entity. But 130 other states or so have recognized and supported a Palestinian state. But clearly, this is not what the Israelis want to see. Why does the Vatican get involved? What does this mean for the U.S. role in the area as, you know, we too struggle with this two-state solution?
Right. Well, our relations with Israel are in flux, as are the world's. Prime Minister Netanyahu has won elections once again and formed a very right-wing government that has not even broached the topic of peace talks. It doesn't want a two-state solution. So America doesn't know how to stand towards this because our policy is there should be two states and a state for the Palestinians. As you said, 130 countries already recognize the Palestinians as a state. So that Vatican recognize it is not unusual. The countries that don't recognize it are Europe and the United States. The rest of the world does. There's 193 countries in the world. Sweden has just recognized it, and several other countries, including Britain, have given these non-binding votes in their parliament. But it looks like Europe could be shifting, and that's of great concern to Israel. Israel made an announcement that this is not helpful to peace, that it's not – that it's going to spoil the Palestinians and that they won't come to the table on the terms that Israel wants to see. But it's also partly the price that Netanyahu is going to pay if he doesn't want to have peace talks. And so we're – this is another tense moment about moving away from allies, as you said, Saudi Arabia, Israel, and more generally in the Middle East, trying to pivot towards Asia.
All right. Well, Joshua, thank you so much for that Middle East update. Always good to have you here.
So it's great to be here. Thank you.